What if a lot of the money companies are spending to try to boost their stock prices is not working? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Here we are 1 week into the spring season for companies to reveal profits, losses, and to share plans for the future. Brian Reynolds is Chief Market Strategist at Rosenblatt Securities. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
All right. You seeing a trend here with these earnings reports, these profits reports coming out?
Well, the last couple of years, we've seen companies beat lowered expectations, and I think the same thing is happening again.
Beating lowered expectations, but the general trend, and you and I have talked about this before, has been companies inclined to use some of their money, often borrowed money at low interest rates, to buy back their own stock, which certainly cheers up investors.
Actually, it doesn't cheer up investors because while buybacks and mergers have been increasing in the last few months, stock prices have been flat since December. Investors have been selling stocks as aggressively as companies have been buying them.
So in other words, it's a strategy that it is hoped would raise the share price, but it doesn't actually work. Although, look, I just looked at the Wilshire 5000. It's up 2.5% year to date. I guess that proves your point more than mine.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's worked for 6 years to boost the stock market, but we go through these periods where investors just don't believe it. And the funny thing is that while investors have been selling stocks, credit investors have been throwing money at companies. That tells me there's going to be more buybacks in the second half of earnings season. Normally, companies will announce their earnings, and then a few weeks later, they'll say, oh, we're going to do a buyback because investors haven't bought our stock. And I also think in the second half of the year, as the credit boom intensifies, that you'll see another acceleration of buybacks and mergers.
All right. We'll see if you're right. We will be here. Brian Reynolds at Rosenblatt Securities, thank you for your help on this.
Thank you.
Another story we're following this morning, the first formal antitrust charges against Google. The European Union says Google is abusing its position to, among other things, insert Google shopping items into regular search results. Google has already told employees it has a strong case in its favor. Google's stock fell 1.6% Tuesday and was down about 0.6% in early trading. The European Central Bank held interest rates steady this morning, as expected. Unexpected was a woman jumping onto the table in front of ECB President Mario Draghi during his news conference. She shouted, "End the ECB dictatorship," as she dumped what appeared to be confetti on the ECB chief. Draghi looked surprised, but quickly regained his sang-froid. Some activists see the European Central Bank as unaccountable and damaging to struggling Europeans. There's news today that the Chinese economy grew at its slowest rate in 6 years. The numbers are for January to March, and annualized, it's down to a 7% growth rate, magnificent by U.S. standards, but lackluster by China's standards, which has to keep creating jobs for people pulled into the economy from the hinterlands. Brian Jackson is senior China economist at IHS.
It's really quite clear what's leading the slide in this quarter, and indeed for the last several quarters, and that's essentially real estate. So China's commodity housing market, which is non-public, has seen large contractions both in sales and in construction really since the third quarter of 2014. And that's indeed deepened in this recent quarter.
Now, some of that has been China trying to tighten up and clamp down on frothy credit. And so that, of course, would impact real estate.
That's absolutely correct. So actually, I mentioned that the real estate market started to contract in the second half of 2014, but actually we saw a deceleration in growth begin sometimes in the middle of 2013. And that came about mostly because of new prudential regulations, which specifically targeted reducing the growth rate of prices in urban areas. There has been a lot of policy to reduce the debt risk in the economy, and that's, of course, affecting the real estate market.
Now, the Chinese central bank has been cutting interest rates in an effort to curb the tendency for the economy to slow. What tools does China have left at this point to boost things?
We expect that China has quite a few tools left in its tool bag. China has been relatively restrained in its stimulus response to a slowdown which arguably began in 2012. So what we expect this year would be additional monetary easing, increased spending in the public housing market, in particular, strong growth in infrastructure spending. One additional thing which is being done to assist local governments where a lot of the debt problems lie is to provide central financing, essentially to swap that short-term debt for long-term bonds. It will subdue their interest payments going forward.
Brian Jackson, senior China economist at IHS. He's speaking from Beijing. Mr. Jackson, thank you.
Thank you.
It is tax day, and while people across the country rush to meet the midnight deadline to file or to file for an extension, the Treasury Department is warning about a telephone scam where the caller impersonates an IRS agent and demands money. Nova Safo reports.
The Treasury Department says thousands of people have fallen victim to a phone scam where the caller impersonates an IRS agent and demands money.
Mark Robinson calling you from IRS, Internal Revenue Service.
The scammer goes on to threaten legal action.
If you need to resolve this case, immediately call me back on
Authorities say Americans have been duped out of more than $14 million, and the calls have surged in recent months.
The clients that I've had inquiries from run the gamut.
David McKelvey is an accountant at the firm Friedman LLP.
An elderly person, younger people, they're business owners, they're employees.
Paul Gewurzman, a tax attorney at Anchin Block & Anchin, says the calls seem legitimate.
They're able to basically mimic an IRS address in your caller ID. You know, it gives a little more validity, and you think, oh, this really is the IRS because it says so on my phone.
The IRS says the agency never contacts someone by phone initially. It uses certified mail. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And forecasters at the International Energy Agency seem a bit out on a limb today. They forecast a, quote, notable acceleration in demand for crude oil this year. Why? Because they expect temperatures to be colder this year, so there'll be more heating and more crude used. Seeing as forecasters have trouble telling you the weather for tomorrow afternoon, we'll see if the IEA gets this right. Crude is up 1.4% using the Texas price now. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.